What's up, everybody? This is Matt from Morning Hookah here once again for the Morning Hookah Show. This is the show in the morning where we talk about hookah, and we like to do it in the morning, even though right now it's a little bit getting close to the afternoon. Scrambled a little bit trying to get a guest for today's episode because I'll be honest, I enjoy playing video games on the stream. I enjoy just kicking it, you know, freestyle with y'all and talking about hookah and playing Fallout Guys and all that kind of stuff. But I would really rather have a guest to talk to about hookah. And I was trying to get a couple people lined up. Busy weekend for a lot of people. I found somebody who was, I don't know how to put this lightly, but he went to an event in the evening. He was buried under a mass of people. He was almost unfound. And then he finally was able to rummage himself from the carnage. And he texted me in the morning and said, "Hey, you still want me to come on the show?" And I was like, "Yeah, that sounds like a great time." So without further ado, please help me in welcoming somebody who I think you're going to really enjoy with me. If you don't already know him, everyone in the chat, I'm pretty sure already knows who this wonderful person is. But this is, of course, Parm Clouds, not Cloud, but Clouds in the Six here joining me today. We're going to go ahead and see if we got his microphone working. It looks like his mic's going to be working, but it looks like your video froze once again. So at least we'll have your
gotta love it.
Voice.
Gotta love it. Let's see. Does that fix it?
It seems to fix it at the moment. We'll go ahead and run with it. But Parm Clouds in the Six, how are you doing, my friend? What are you up to?
I'm good, sir. I'm joining you for the show at, 12 p.m. my time. I woke up, I made a cup of coffee, and you're like, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" And I'm like, "Sure, bud." Packed a bowl. Here I am.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to speedy pack a bowl and get here hanging out with me this morning. I'm excited to see what kind of crazy mischief we can get into. We don't have like a plan for the show. Most people that know me know that I'm like super thorough in the way that I like plan out my shows with like notes and like all these things. But this is going to be like literally firing from the hip. Like that is what this show is going to basically be. And your camera just does not want to play nice with us. That's a very flattering picture, as you would tell me, that we have of you at the moment.
I mean, I'm trying. I don't know what's going on with the camera. I don't know.
I don't either. It's technology. Technical difficulties is something that definitely happens here on the show. What is up, Hookah Buzz? Thank you so much for joining us all the way from India, actually. Hope you are doing well. Afros and Hookah, hope you're doing well as well. Akeem, so nice to see you in the chat as always. Mascot, Moscot, Hookah? You tell me.
Never into the moment.
You never. Tell me.
Just the homie, UPK, bro. You know.
I want to hear your pronunciation, because sometimes these names, they get you tripped up more than you assume they're going to. So I want to hear what your pronunciation of his name is.
I'd probably go Moscot.
Moscot. I'm pretty sure you're more correct than I am, but that's not too surprising. Hookologist.
I went to public school, so what do I know? You know.
I went to public school too. That explains everything. MTG, the stack is here. It's got to be the 5G. It's got to be the 5G. That's what's causing the problem for sure. Adrian, hope you're doing well.
It's all these clouds, you know, causing the Wi-Fi interruption.
The
there.
Clouds in the Six. That's the. Oh man. I like this guy. It's going to be a fun show, I think. And then also I want to give a shout out and a thank you for showing up to I think that's it. I think that's everybody that I saw so far in the chat. Moscuti. I don't know. We're going to move on. What are you smoking today? Let's get into what it is that we're smoking. At least try to track down some semblance of a show and see if I can. Oh, you know what? We're not even live yet.
How is that? What do you mean?
I'm trying to go live on, let's see, pages that I manage. I wanted to go live on my Facebook page, but for some reason I got to complete the details. What details need to be completed? I'm going to have you describe what it is you're smoking, and then I will try to figure this out. So what are you smoking at the moment, Parm?
I am smoking a fabulous mix that I am obsessed with. It is Raymonade from Element V-Line. Lemongrass from Element Air, and Morose from Element Water.
Ooh, those all sound very good. Can you describe some of those flavors that you packed.
Now we're in a whole new domain because V-Line's a mix of a variety of flavors. It's like a pine and a Baikal lemonade, something like that.
What? Lemongrass. Okay. I got a question for you about the V-Line. I don't have a lot of experience with Element. Now, you have quite a bit of experience with Trifecta tobacco, correct?
Yes, sir.
So could you describe V-Line similar to Trifecta? How do they compare or contrast? Because like the couple of times that I have had Element tobacco, I actually think that they're similar to Trifecta.
So, okay, well, Element has different lines, mm-hmm. and their air line would be this. Yeah, the air line is the equivalent of like their blonde line.
Mm-hmm.
The cut, the flavor profiles, the, you know, overall experience, in my opinion, is better than what you would get with Trifecta.
Mm.
Certain flavors with the airline, you don't have to mix. Like they can be smoked as a standalone flavor versus a lot of the Trifecta flavors are meant to be mixed and they taste better when mixed. So it's with the Element Airline, in my opinion, it's one of my favorite blonde lines. It's super user friendly. It handles heat really well. So you don't have to stress about like, I have to get the pack specifically like this and I have to put X amount of coals to get a certain duration or certain session out of it or quality of session out of it. So I think Element's better than Trifecta. I think Trifecta is like that introductory brand to people who want to get into, let's say, like that performance side of, you know, tobacco and shisha flavors, versus it's like you start with like Alfacher and the Adalias and you work your way up into, you know, a Trifecta and then Element. And then if you want to go to the dark, like the dark tobacco realm, you go with Trifecta Dark and then Sarbuzz Vintage and you work your way up into Must Have in Tangiers and Azure. So I think Element and Trifecta is like a good introduction brand. Element is a little bit more refined.
I find it very interesting the way that I view Trifecta nowadays compared to how I viewed them, especially when I first got into smoking Trifecta. I feel like I was very blown away by what Trifecta was at one time. 100%. And I feel like I've definitely lost a little bit of that kind of the honeymoon phase is over. Let's put it that way.
I agree, but Trifecta was the first brand that I like outside of a Falcon and Elliot, that when I got Trifecta, it was also the first time I got like my Mini Rook, a Provost.
It was when you started to get into the enthusiast way of smoking,
yeah,
kind of.
Where I started packing my own bowls at home instead of going to like a lounge. And it was, you know, you start with like the peppermint shake. I remember the first three flavors I got were peppermint shake, twice the ice, and TNT. And you mix those together and I was like, wow, this is like nothing I've ever smoked before. Because Alfacher is, you know, like a little bit more traditional in their flavors where it's like blueberry fruits and stuff like that. But then you go into Trifecta where it's like actual unique flavors like peppermint shake and you're like, I've never had something like this before. I've never had like a creamier bowl per se, or you know, that cooling sensation of twice the ice X catches people off guard. They always put a little bit too much and then they learn their lesson real quick. So
I think that the honeymoon phase of what Trifecta is gone, and I kind of just accept them for what they are. And I don't mean that as like to downplay them in any way. I think they still do a lot of things very good, obviously. It's been a long time since I've ordered like new Trifecta. Like it's been a long time since I wanted to taste that Trifecta flavor and stuff. I feel like a lot of my smoking habits have really gotten a lot of the stuff that I want from it has come from, you know, Tangiers and Azor and even a lot of the new brands and stuff, especially when I was getting into things from Russia, like the WTOs and the Dark Side and stuff. Like I didn't see a whole lot of reason to get back into Trifecta, and maybe that's my own fault. And maybe it's just time for me to kind of try to do another deep dive into that again, to kind of see kind of what I feel about them again. It's been a long time. Like I said, the Hookologist says, Matt, you're not going to believe what I got this week. What did you get, Tommy? What did you get? Oh, he got some.
No, I don't know. That's just my guess.
He's had Static Starlight before. He's had it before. which we're going to have to talk a little bit about. Hookah Buzz. Oh, I love people talking while I'm working. Amazing info grabbing in the background. Well, hopefully we can keep you well entertained. We'll talk about some stuff in the world of hookah. If you have any questions, if there's anything that you would like to talk to us about in terms of hookah, feel free to drop a question into the chat or a topic of discussion. As I said, today is a very from-the-hip type of show. We're just going to be bullshitting and talking and just hanging out. Next weekend, I got a weekend. You got next weekend off, Tommy? Tommy, you know what that means, right? Parm, sorry, you're going to have to scoot over because Tommy's going to be filling in this seat next week. It's been far too long, Mr. Hookologist. That is what we're going to be doing next weekend. Sorry, not trying to overhype the next week's show compared to this show, because this show is going to be amazing as we're already kicking it really good right now. But next week's going to be fun with Tommy. We'll talk about that in the background. What's up, Rose F. Death? Thank you so much for stopping by. Happy to have you here. Afros and Hookah just uploaded a video for the first time. What? No. Afros and Hookahs upload videos all the time. They do a very good job on their channel. If you haven't seen him, he has the hookah that is too clean. You got to go check out his videos. Very good stuff over there. Anyway, so let's go ahead and talk about Butt on Fighters. Yes, we're going to play some Dragon Ball Z Fighters next weekend. That's what we'll do for sure. Well, I'm smoking.
Sir,
yes, yes.
That's what I was going to ask you. Was Matt, Mr. Static Starlight himself, what are you smoking?
I'm not smoking Static Starlight.
Audacity. How dare you?
Well, I definitely try, especially on morning shows and stuff like that, when I'm in front of an audience and having conversations and talking, I like to try to get some different stuff loaded up so that I'm able to talk about them. You know, I want to have an inquiring opinion and justifiable understanding of different flavors and stuff like that. So here's what I did today. Are you familiar with the Offmani brand of tobacco?
Sir, I am not.
Offmani is from the brand family of Medwa tobacco. Medwa has Medwa. It has Nirvana, Nirvana Super Shisha, and it also has Doka as well that you smoke out of a Medwa, which is an Iranian tobacco that is a pipe tobacco. They have a brand called Offmani. It's their blonde leaf tobacco. It's still very lightly washed tobacco. It is in a white. It used to be in a white packet, Hookah Buzz. It's actually in a new refined packaging that's very like. I think I can grab one of them. Hold on 1 second. Oh, it's right here. I can get it. This is their new packaging. It's a black package that has like very outlined artistry for the imagery and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. Parm, there you go. You can see it over there.
I have the stream and the chat open.
Okay, good. This is their Star of Al Harmara, which is like a melon flavor. Or no, I don't see even melon. Anyways, pineapple's in there. You can see the pineapple there. I smoked one called Arjun Spice. Spice is a honey, spices, and kind of just like a mixture of different kind of that kind of flavor profiles. Honey, spices, that kind of thing. And then on top of that, I threw black tea from Azor on top of that and Bermuda mint from Azor as well on top of that. So I did a little bit of a layer pack, which I don't often do layer packs. Whenever I do mixes and stuff, I usually do side by side or I mix it around. Very rarely do I do a layer pack. I decided to do a layer pack with this one because the Arjun Spice is so strong. It can literally stain a hookah. It can stain a bowl if you let it, honestly. And I decided that I wanted to try something a little bit different with this. So I put the Arjun Spice on the bottom of it so I can get the honey and the spices to come through while I'm also enjoying that black tea flavor on top with the Bermuda mint as well. So far, I've only taken a handful of puffs because I've been trying to run the stream and going through technical difficulties and stuff, but it seems to be smoking very nicely at the moment. So I'm going to fill you in a little bit later on throughout the session and let you know my opinions and my thoughts about it.
Can we get a quick cloud check? Oh, one day. One day I'll be as cool as Matt. Who knows? We can strive. It's nice to have goals.
I don't know. I've seen your cloud checks. They're pretty damn impressive. In the world of hookah, the things that impress us hookah people are the cloud checks that we are able to enjoy. Those are some nice. Those are some clouds in the six. If I ever did see some myself, you're like, in the six
physically and literally. Yes.
Yeah, you are producing clouds while you are in the six. So let's hear a little bit about you, if you don't mind. If you don't mind regaling us, I know you hate to talk about yourself. I know that in a room. Full of people.
I actually don't like talking about myself, but okay, let's see if I can
give us your hookah story, if you don't mind.
First hookah story. Actually, you know what? I have a way I'm going to I have a story that comes to mind for this. It was, so I think 2015 or 2013 to 2015, hookah's blowing up here in Ontario, Canada. Everybody's in universities and they're going
to, like, you're from Canada, if, in case anyone didn't get the reference of clouds in
specifically
the
Ontario.
Okay.
But yeah, so 2013, 2015, hookah's blowing up. All my friends from university, they're all going to local lounges. And at that time, I knew of hookah, but I never smoked it. And I would even join my friends at these lounges, but I still wouldn't smoke. It wasn't my cup of tea. I would always end up getting food or something and just hanging out. You go to a lounge, you play some board games, some cards, hang out. And one day I was hanging out with one of my buddies, and it was just me and him. We had our laptops there because they had Wi-Fi. So we'd go there like 5 o'clock, no one's there, and start working. And he was sitting across from me. He was smoking his hookah. And I was like, you know what, man? I want to try it. His jaw dropped. He's like, what? You've been coming to lounges for like years, and this is the first time you want to smoke a hookah? I'm like, yeah. It was a Fokker lemon mint. And he passes it to me. I smoke it, and I'm like, well, dang, here we go. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. For a few years after that, I never bought a hookah. I never got into hookah. I would only smoke it at lounges. Now, that being said, I was at this lounge with my friend almost every day for 6 months. So I got really comfortable with it. And then the pandemic happened, and I bought my first hookah, and I still didn't know how to pack a bowl. Arguably, I still don't know how to pack a bowl, but we started smoking, and from there I made the Clouds in the Six Instagram page, and it's been downhill ever since. I am now in debt. So here we are.
Now, you only have a handful of hookahs, though, correct? You're not exactly like you're not like Paul, good friend of the show from Hookah University. He has about like 70 hookahs. You only have a handful of them, but you do enjoy the hookahs that you have. What are the hookahs that you have been able to try and enjoy? And is there a hookah that is shining in your eye that you're wanting to try to obtain one day?
So I've owned only 4 hookahs. I've tried numerous amounts of hookahs. I've been fortunate enough to have friends that are like Paul that have a huge collection, or a variety of friends that will buy the latest and greatest. So I've had, the first hookah I ever bought was the Shisha Bucks. After that was the Union Sleek, and then the Hoop Sub Atom, which, if anybody knows me, knows that the Sub Atom is my all-time favorite hookah, to the point where I want to buy a second one. Tell me someone who loves a hookah so much that they're willing to buy 2 of the same one.
You are the Sub Atom guy. Like, when I think of the word Sub Atom, you're the first person that comes to mind every single time.
Branding, baby. So I, the Sub Atom, and then I had a viral one for a little bit. Actually, I had the viral one before I got the Sub Atom, and then I got a viral Penta. But the one that I use daily is my Sub Atom. And then your question was, what's something that like stands out to me? There's a bunch, you know. There's like, you have like the simulations, you have the Aeon Lounge 4 and the Fibonacci. Well, like brand wise, Aeon's killing it. Hoob's killing it. You know, simulation keeps pumping out new models every week. So with God knows how many accessories, you have the Mohs Breeze, the Mohs brand, they're killing it as well. So to me, there's not any one hookah that stands out. It's been just like, there's these classes, and like, there's a hookah for every setting and every environment that just kind of makes sense. And there's some that are made for everyone's preference. So
the Breeze, I think, look fantastic. I really enjoy the look of the Breeze. I think they look really, really nice. I also am a big fan of the Aeon hookahs as well. I think they look very stunning. They're in a class all of their own. It's been interesting throughout the years to see kind of the changes in the way that hookahs, they're all very simple machines at the end of the day, but the way that they're able to differentiate themselves and to stand out. Now, I don't mean to call you out on the spot, but I do want to hear your opinion, because a pretty mainstream hookah that's very popular is Regal hookahs, and you have kind of an opinion of Regal hookahs that we've talked about before, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on Regal hookahs, why it is that it is something that you either do or are not trying to obtain at the moment.
So for me, I'm not a fan of traditional hookahs. I respect them. I understand why people enjoy them. I like modern open draw style hookahs, stainless steel, low maintenance type of hookahs. So if we use Regal as an example, I know the quality behind it's there. They're handmade. They have that little bit of restriction that people really enjoy. For me, I haven't smoked out of a Regal, but I've been around them. I've seen some in person. Nothing about it, or for that, at that price range, you're paying for that craftsmanship. And if you know exactly the draw that you're looking for and a Regal provides that, you can justify the price tag that might come with it, especially if you're planning on using it as a daily driver. For me, there's a variety of hookahs where they cater a little bit more to my style and my preference that I would rather pay for, but that's just me.
And I totally agree with that. I think that that's a really good way to look at the hookah that you're interested in picking up for yourself. Obviously, it's never good to clout chase. You know, I would never, ever tell anybody to look at to get something because they think it's going to make them have a better session, or if it's going to make them, you know, smoke more influential, or I don't even know what the right terminology would be.
You don't need to smoke the latest and greatest to enjoy your sessions.
Exactly. And I think that it's very important to find a hookah that speaks to you, and the one that you like is the one that you're going to most enjoy. And that's how it felt for a long time about Regals for me too. It wasn't until this past year that when I got my Regal at Hookah Expo in the USA, where I found the Regal that just spoke to me, and it said, this is the Regal that I want to be the owner of, because it is so unique and so different, and it's something that stands out for me personally. It is the most expensive individual piece of hookah that I have ever purchased, bar none. I mean, absolutely. And I look at it, and it's the crowning jewel of my collection. I don't smoke it every day. I don't even smoke it that often, honestly, because I'm worried, because I'm a very... I'm accident prone, Clouds. Yeah. I am very accident. I have broken rare, expensive, beautiful, one of a kind things. I have broken relics rings. I have broken onyx bowls that are early editions. I am not a safe person, okay? And because of that reason, I have to be very careful, and I treat this thing like a baby, and I don't want to cause any harm to it. So I am very careful with it. But with all that you said, I got this Regal because of that reason. I have smoked out of Regals for a very long time. I'm a fan of their draw, the way that they smoke and stuff like that. But it is something that I didn't want to get just because I know that they're a popular hookah. I didn't want to get them just purely for the fact that if I use this hookah, I'm going to have a better session or something like that. I got it because I wanted it.
And that's, I think that's something you said on, so you spoke to there, was that, you know, it's something that, you knew, we've heard about Regal, especially in North America. It's very popular. They've been around for a very, very long time. And credit to George, where, you know, he's made some really stunning pieces and really unique looking pieces. He had that one where he does like those galaxy theme ones, or even one where he had like all the pencil crayons in it, and he like carved that one down. That's personally one of my favorites, where it has like all the pencil crayons and they're like, you can see all the colors. The thing with buying the latest and greatest is within a few months, it is no longer relevant. There's always going to be a newer one, a new hookah on the market. And unless you operate in a specific tax bracket like Paul, where you can afford to buy all the latest and greatest, for most people, if not everyone else, it's hard to justify owning that many. most people that do collect hookahs have a variety that offer different things. They don't have 5 hookahs or 10 hookahs that are all in the same category. They all offer a different draw, a different experience in whatever regard. And just to like wrap on the conversation regarding Regal, though, is they're tried and tested. And if you're going to spend that kind of money, for me, I'm a sucker for practicality. I don't want to have to baby something. Taking care of something is one thing, but having to baby it because you know how much went into it doesn't work for me. Because when I buy something, if I did buy a, you know, $500+ hookah, I want that to be my daily driver. I want that hookah to be the end all, that I don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You know, and I'm just kind of like looking at my collection right now and just kind of like seeing the stuff that I have over the years, how I've kind of amass them and the kind of differences in the different hookahs. They all do serve a very different function and a different reasoning for existing and stuff. The Regal is that kind of like the crowning jewel and stuff. I also have the one that I'm smoking out of today is actually called the Fumant. It's the little tiny one. It's a desktop hookah. It's not very tiny actually, But it is a desktop hookah, and normally, regardless if it's a desktop or not, I usually put everything on the ground on a little wooden...
Do you mean tabletop, or do you actually mean desktop as in the computer?
I mean desktop as my computer area. It
you
is...
know what? Physically, like literally, well, not physically, literally in the term, yes, you are right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out the public school system.
So I do have it sitting here, and it has such a cool, unique feature to it. This was something that was sent for review purposes, and I was able to do a review for it. I think it's a very cool hookah. I know that there's a couple other ones on the market that also do the purge, where it goes through the stem and stuff like that as well. But it really does stand out, and it really offers a really good smoking experience with it as well. We had somebody in the chat, Hookah Buzz, said that we need Parm to talk about Mason bowls. I'm not 100% sure what he's referring to in that regard. I don't know if there's something specific about that, but is there something about Mason bowls?
A conversation we had where obviously in India it's a lot harder to get the North American products, one from a cost perspective of shipping and price. And Hookah Buzz, to my knowledge, is one of the first people in India to get a original Mason bowl or two Mason bowls. I believe he has the Helix and a Gravel, if I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he has those two. And it's interesting seeing the huge, huge hookah community in India and their style of smoking and what they have access to and them learning. Like, you have people in like Germany and Russia where, you know, innovation, trying the latest and greatest and have access to almost anything and everything, and even in North America. And then you have places like India that have such a huge enthusiast following, and what they have access to, and seeing them get access to, you know, from you smoking that very old school traditional way to like now having HMDs and pack methods and densities and understanding the little science behind or the nuances of packing a bowl and enjoying those sessions. And Hookah Buzz, if just a subtle plug for him, if you guys haven't checked out his YouTube, because he's very scientific when it comes to it. He's done the due diligence of actually researching and making notes and reporting on his thoughts and opinions on his stuff and trying the stuff that he sees available on the internet regarding, you know, how to smoke hookah and like, or the more optimal, the best way of smoking hookah. So we were talking about Mason products, and I was curious because these guys have access to a variety of other bowls, but not so much the hype stuff that we're so used to. So I wanted to know, when you got his hands on that Mason bowl, was that hype or that price tag worth it? I think he's done a few videos regarding it, but I think even for me, you know, when I got into hookah, everyone starts with the Egyptian clay bowls, and those are like $7, you know, dirt cheap. You break them, you get another one, not a problem. Then you work your way into like the alpacas and, you know, the Oblocos, and you're like, oh, like this is like, it looks really cool. They're a little bit more expensive, and people usually relax in that realm. And there's some people who are like, I want, you know, something cooler or some, not even cooler per se, but more expensive, more hype. And then you learn about Mason, Hazy's, Ermine bowls, you know, Relics, whatever it may be. And you see like we'll use Mason as an example, because that one's a little bit more readily available and it is as hype, but people have a hard time justifying that price tag for that bowl. So you start looking into like these handmade artisan boutique style bowls, and you're like, are they worth the price? And it was interesting hearing someone's feedback who's never really been, who's aware of the hype realm, but doesn't have access to it readily, and then being able to get a bowl like that and seeing his perspective of like, do we live in a bubble where we just want the latest and greatest and the most hyped stuff, or do these bowls justify that price tag?
Yeah, it's so interesting, especially when it comes to Mason bowls, because they for many years were so boutique, so very boutique. There's long periods of time where like there was maybe 100 total, like around the entire world and stuff like that. Obviously that number has grown by leaps and bounds over the years and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but they are still very boutique, but they've definitely kind of graduated in that next level of things. I think there's still a lot of hype that surrounds Mason bowls. It's much easier to get a Mason bowl in comparison to what it used to be, but it is by no means a standard bowl the same way that we look at things like an alpaca bowl, or we look at a Hookah John bowl, or so many other ones that are out there in the wild and stuff like that. So it is really interesting the way that the classifications work within bowls, especially for something like Mason. I'm a big believer in Mason Bowls. I do really like their products. I think that their clay work is wonderful. They hold heat so very well and stuff. But like, they're not going to give you the same thing that we were talking about hookah a little bit earlier and stuff. The hookah is not going to give you that session that's so much better than something else if you're enjoying the hookah that you have currently. Like, enjoy the products that you currently have, because that's going to give you your good sessions. But a Mason Bowl does have that ability to give you something more than what you have if what you're used to is something like purely like a clay, regular clay Egyptian bowl. Like, there is a jump or a bonus step up there, in my opinion, not into this like stratosphere or difference, but like their clay is very good quality. So it does hold heat very well and stuff. So I think that does have something to say about it. And like Parm was saying, when it comes to Hookah Buzz's channel, if you have not checked it out, you have to. He posts videos so regularly on so many different topics, so many different things that happen in it. My favorite videos of his are the ones where he starts out at the beginning. He's like, hey, I'm just here to give you a quick video. And then a half hour later, he's like, all right, that's all I got. It's like, yeah, okay, totally. A really quick video that we just sat through 30 minutes of watching. But it was a great video, so it doesn't matter. Obviously, it's just a funny quirk that I enjoy about his videos, is he always says at the very beginning, I'm just going to do a quick video. Half hour later, it's finally over.
It's kind of like when Matt reposts like a review from like 2010, and he's like, hey guys, go check out this thing. And it's like him using like quick lights on a gas station pipe. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Throwback Thursday, you know, you gotta have those throwbacks every once in a while,
you know. There's actually one thing I wanted to add to the whole Mason thing, was that, and hookah, something I've learned, you know, when I started getting into hookah and buying it, was that you don't need to buy the most expensive products to get the best sessions, and or the most hyped products to get the best session. The thing about hookah, and the beautiful thing about hookah, is that it is catered to, there's something for everyone in every price range and every preference. All you have to do is the due diligence of some basic research. And once you do that, again, there's no guarantee. You have to experiment. The biggest thing about hookah, whether it be brands, pack methods, styles of hookahs, the shisha, whatever it may be, you have to experiment. And by experimenting, you'll one day hit that perfect point where you're like, oh my God, I had like a 2 hour plus session. It required minimal effort. I really enjoyed it. And you'll be like, this is great. How do I replicate that? How do I carry that over to other brands and other, you know, products? And with Mason or Alpaca or Regals or Simulations, whatever it may be, there's something out there for everyone. You don't need to buy the latest and greatest to guarantee yourself a good session.
And I
do think,
in fact,
if you buy the latest and greatest, you're not guaranteed the greatest session.
100%. I do think that there's actually a lot of thanks to the European market for that that change that so like for a long time in hookah there was only two tiers. There was gas station hookahs and then like KM hookahs for a very, very long time. I'm talking like early 2000s and stuff, obviously. And then like we got into these like super expensive hookahs, and then you had that KM and stuff like that, which was just very simple in the way that it worked. And then you still had those gas station hookahs, but you never really had that really nice mid-tier range. But then when the European market really started to blossom, when the Russian market, the German market, and all these other markets really started to blossom out, then we started seeing these beautiful pieces of $100, $150, very obtainable price points for a lot of very nice hookahs, where you didn't really used to get that. You could still spend like hundreds of dollars on a crappy gas station AK-47 hookah that was going to rust out in a couple of months. But like, we don't see that nowadays. It's really nice that we can get hookahs that are $100, $150 that are stainless steel that are going to last you for a very long time. And they're all very, very good quality and stuff, you know? So it's nice to see that change that has happened over the years, because for a long time, you didn't have that opportunity to get those kinds of pieces and stuff. And now it's so readily available and easy to obtain and stuff. It's very nice, especially with the online retail sites that are all very well stocked, especially nowadays. You know, like, you used to only have one or two options to get anything that you wanted. And now, honestly, you can go to a lot of different sites and get a lot of different options, and they all range in very good, easy attainable price points and stuff, which is very nice and stuff. Now, what Mason Bowls do you currently have? Do you have any Mason Bowls currently?
I only have two. two and then some. I have a Gravel. I have a Helix V2.2. I know they're called like Batch 2, whatever. I just like to call it a Helix V2.2. Those are the only two bowls I have. I had a Velix V2.1, but that broke. That's it. That's all I, and I honestly, that's all I really need.
Now, so you don't, do you not have like a large collection of bowls as well? Are you, what does that kind of look like for you?
Max, maybe 5 to 6 bowls, all serve a specific function, or, you know, they all cater to a different need. Not to say they're not versatile, but I check and list them. I have a alpaca mini rook. I have a Ola Ade bowl. I have my gravel, my helix, my ascent bowl. I think that's it, actually. I think that's it.
Wow, that really is only 5 bowls. I have a few more. I have 5 Mason bowls. I have 5 10-10 bowls. I have a few more bowls than that for sure. You don't have a Hazy bowl at the moment. Is Hazy Bowls a bowl brand or type of bowl that intrigues you? Are you interested in it? What are your thoughts on things like a Hazy bowl or even the 10-10 make bowls? What are your opinions of those?
I think with Hazy bowls, they're that one class above Mason where they're hype. You know, the quality is there. I know those who have smoked out of their Hazies have no issues with them. They're stunning bowls. Lucas from Hazy has only made one bowl that I want, and it's a haunted house kind of style bowl. That's the only one I want.
All those series of those Halloween style bowls were very cool looking.
Yes. So I really want that, the haunted house one. Mokeef has it.
Mokeef, I was going to say Mokeef probably has that, doesn't he?
Man, I'm at that point where I entered to try to buy those Hazy bowls. If I buy a Hazy bowl, it's strictly to trade with him to get that haunted house bowl. I don't care what bowl I get. I don't care if it's rare, limited, whatever. It can have Lucas's blood print on, like a thumbprint made with blood. I don't care. I want that haunted house bowl. Hazy,
you just need to make a bowl that is Hunter themed, and then you can figure out a way to trade that with him. That's what you need to do.
Even then, Mokeef has bought a Ola bowl, Ola Ade, custom painted with Dr. Hisoka, or not Dr., sorry, Hisoka. His name is Dr. Hisoka, painted on it. So he has that. Even the thing about like Jordan and 10-10 bowls is he's done a really good job of making super quality bowls, and it's not impossible to get one. If you're following him on Instagram, you have the notifications up. He does like the story drops, and it's easy to check out, and they're affordable.
Yeah. And he does them so often, and they vary in such a wide price range. I think you can go all the way down to about like $30 or $40. And then they do get up to 150. I saw one of his tentacle bowls, his 10-10 tentacle bowls, go for like $150 or something like that. But he does have those kind of more standardized bowls that are closer to like $30, $40. So if you want to get a 10-10 bowl, you definitely can. I have a few in my collection. I really enjoy them a lot. They are very good quality. Has there ever been a hookah product that you yourself have ever gotten and was disappointed by because of either hype or because of expectations that you had yourself for that product?
No. And I would, because I do my due diligence of not buying stuff that comes out right away and waiting to hear that feedback and what people's thoughts and opinions are and giving it a little bit. Now, there's times where I'm like, I wish I got like this hype bowl for whatever reason, but usually the more rare the bowl, the less likely I am to get it. So that's fine. It kind of works out in my favor. And also, I'm also really cognizant of price point. Like, if I get a Mason bowl, I'm not trying to pay resale prices for it. If I hit on a retail drop, sweet. If I don't, it is what it is. I know that if I need to, I could get rid of it and still recoup that money that I put into it. So I'm not too stressed about that. And now, once you kind of follow one or two people in the hookah community, you are naturally exposed to so much feedback and thoughts and opinions on a variety of bowls. And you can do your own, you can make an, your, form your opinion. And then if you can justify the cost, you can get a bowl of whatever you want. So to answer your question, no, nothing I've bought has made me go like, shit, like that was expensive, and this is not what I expected.
The hookahologist in the comments, he just wrote down my Vero 1. Are you saying that your Vero 1 was disappointing to you? If so, why is it disappointing? Because that did happen to me. So
I really... Yes, I agree. The Vero 1 was the one hookah where I had really high expectations. I looked at it. I had one for a few months, and I was like, what the heck? So you're right, hookahologist. That is the
what about
one.
It? What about it is a letdown?
It was the user, like, again, I'm a fan of practicality and like ease of use. And from a practicality standpoint, it checks the boxes, compact, easy to use, whatever it may be. At the same time, it's a very delicate hookah. You have to get the water level precise. You have to purge carefully. If you're not paying attention and one day and you're just accidentally, you know, you purge a little bit too hard, you will flood the bowl. And it is the only hookah in my life where I have flooded the bowl more than once. Or actually ever flooded a bowl. I've never had any issues with any other hookah. And I mean, sometimes I'm not paying attention. You purge a little bit too hard, or you're not paying, whatever it may be. All my other hookahs are suitable, but the Vero 1 was the one hookah where I was like, damn, this was it from a quality perspective. And there's people who know how to use it and they have no issues with it. And it's their daily driver. They travel with it, whatever. For me, If I had left my hookah with someone, I don't have to give them a list of rules and guidelines on how to use that hookah.
I had a Vero 1 for a long time. I actually sold mine to a friend of mine that was really interested in it, and I kind of felt the same way about it. It was given to me as a gift. I got it for a Secret Santa event that I was a part of, and I didn't really know what to expect because I've never been the type of person that enjoyed tabletop-style hookahs. Like, I like full-style hookahs and stuff like that. And the Vero 1, even though it does have, you can get good sessions out of it and you can enjoy it, obviously, and stuff. But it is the only hookah that I've ever flooded a bowl in like that and stuff. And so, like, I definitely see that. I do think that it is a nice portable hookah, but there's also, like, little problems with it that I didn't like. I didn't like that you had to put the hose port on the very bottom of it. I didn't like the way that it was kind of shaped for the bowl port itself and stuff, and that there was no tray, even though... I don't know about you, but like, I don't exactly use a tray constantly, right? Like, the tray is definitely more of aesthetic looking at this point in my smoking career than it is something that I use on a regular basis. Is that the same way for you?
So the same situation with the Sub-Atom, it doesn't come with a tray. If I'm at home, you know, most people that are, once you get into coconut coals and stuff, like, you usually get a coal carrier or something to ash the coals in. You're not really using the tray from the hookah. I love to use a tray. I like, with my Sub-Atom, I had like a little metal tray that I could like put on it because it still fit. So it's just ease of use, because sometimes let's say you're smoking on a deck and you don't have anywhere to ash your coals, and you have a hookah that doesn't have a tray. You need the tray for at least to ash the coals, or so you can put them somewhere. I use the tray. It drives me nuts if I own a hookah where I have to worry about like damaging the tray or leaving like the coal marks or whatever. And I'm like, well, now I've kind of ruined the aesthetic of this like perfectly looking hookah. Like, I put in so much effort to clean it, but you can't, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah. At that point, for sure. The Vero 1, because it was given to me as a gift, I didn't really have a lot of expectations. So I wouldn't really classify that for me personally as like a disappointment or anything, because it was given to me. So like, when I got it and I understood it, then it was like, oh, this is what it is. Right. The hookah that I did purchase myself and was quite a disappointment to me was my Work Bun hookah. So I really loved the Work Bun hookahs and the way that they looked. They used to have these really beautiful ones that had like these clay pot vases that looked like a water jug or a water carrying canteen type thing. And I always thought they just looked so cool, and I really wanted one for the longest time. And I went to Hookah Expo 2, I think it was. And they didn't have any of the clay style Work Bun hookahs, but they did have this etched wooden one that has this like where you leave it out in the sunlight and it glows in the dark and stuff like that. And I thought it looked really cool. And I was like, I think I'm going to buy this hookah. I really enjoy the look of it. I like the vase that's on it. It's very cool looking. So I decided to drop. It was like $220 for the hookah at the expo for pricing and stuff. So I got it. I smoked it a few times, and I kind of like convinced myself that I was enjoying it. I kind of told myself, like, this is good. I like this.
Enjoy this. I paid this much. I have to enjoy it.
Yeah. And then I kept smoking it, and I kept using it for longer and longer. And then I noticed that, like, the what's it called? Where you screw it in. What are those things called? I can't think of the wording for it. the part that screws into the other part, the threads,
the down
threads,
stem, the up stem, the heart,
the threads on those parts. They're okay. So thin and they're so easy to ruin. And it's like, I paid this much money for these thin of threads. And it was very disappointing to me. And then like comparing it to other hookahs that I had purchased that were way less money than that cost. And it's like, this just doesn't work together. Like, it is a disappointment to me. My work bun hookah, it's way too restrictive. It's way too cheap feeling for the cost that I paid for it in general. And it's just disappointing for those reasons and stuff. So I think that we all have regret here and there about certain pipes or things that we've ever purchased or dealt with and stuff. What about you, chat? Is there anything that you've ever gotten hookah buzz? Somebody who has maybe gotten things overseas because of the hype or things that they needed to try or experience, or you wanted to make a video about. Have you ever gotten something and thought like, this is not what I was hoping that it would actually be? Because I've been lucky enough that the times that I've tried Dark Side or WTO tobacco or Must Have tobacco, very few times have I been disappointed in the hype that I've received over brands of tobacco. It's definitely happened before in the past. I will say that there's been certain flavors for must-have tobacco that I was not a fan of. Space Smoke Work Bun Bowls, worst ever. we could go on about Space Smoke for a little while, because that's a whole—
I'd rather we did it.
That's a whole nother conversation that we could have about Space Smoke. That's for sure. Work Bun Bowls. I've never had a Work Bun Bowl, but if their hookah quality is anything to go off of, I could imagine that would be a possibility. Afros and Hookah says double apple from AF.
Aligned. I'm aligned.
What? Hold on. What'd you say?
What in the black licorice am I smoking?
Wait, you don't like double apple either?
No, I don't like double apple at all. I understand why others enjoy it because, you know, it has that flavor profile that is super suitable to others. Every time the same friend that I used to go with, he would always smoke double apple, and I'd be like, hey, let me try it, right? Because like, I'd be like, all right, whatever, until my hookah comes, can I like try some? So he would give it to me and I would do one pull and I'm like, you know what? This ain't it, chief. I don't want this. Here you go. I regret. Instant regret. I'm like, why am I smoking black licorice right now?
Sorry, not a double apple fan either, says Rose F. Death. Here's the thing is, I feel like double apple is this traditional style of smoking that you get into in the beginning, especially if you started smoking early like I did. I started smoking in 2007, so like the options were very limited in comparison. Nowadays, we have such a wide variety of things that you can have your first smoke and your smoking cabinet look like and stuff. But I was never a huge double apple fan. And then the more I got matured into smoking, the more I enjoy double apple, especially in mixes. I mean, if you mix double apple and peach,
that's important. In a mix, it's maybe, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I understand why others might enjoy it, not as a standalone.
If you mix double apple from AF, two apple AF, and you mix peach from AF, I'm telling you right now, it is a cheat code. It is going to be one of the most enjoyable smokes you have ever had in your life. I guarantee it.
I'll see you in October, so maybe you can put your money where your mouth is.
I will bring it. I will make sure to bring some two apple from AF and some peach from AF, and I will load you a bowl because it is a cheat code. Honest to God, when it comes to hookah mixes and stuff like that, it is so very good and enjoyable. Let's see. Hookah Buzz says, Parms, please smoke double apple 4 days in a row and you get addicted as if you are smoking weed. He's comparing it to weed.
That escalated quickly. I'm going to have to respectfully say no. I am not really in the mood to smoke any one thing for 4 days in a row.
Unless it's Static Starlight.
I haven't had it, and so I can't speak to it. Yep. I'm good. No, thank you, sir.
I'll make sure to bring some Static Starlight with me as well. We'll buy some fresh up there so that you can enjoy some Static Starlight so I can show you the way of the Static and the Starlight. We are going to be in Las Vegas together. We're going to be in Las Vegas together in October for Hookah Expo, HEW. It's going to be October 14th and the 15th. We're going to be there hanging out with the Hook University boys. There's going to be some parties. There's going to be a lot of really good events. I'm going to be working with Hookah Battle on some projects. Parm is going to be working with me. We're going to have some fun. I guarantee you we're going to have some good times in Las Vegas. Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Sir, I have not. I have not been to Vegas in my life. I've gone gambling. I've entered a casino 3 times, gambled once, and walked away positive, and I'm like, I'm retiring a perfect career. So, I'm retiring up, and I'm okay with that. But Vegas, I have not been there. More than anything, it's gonna be a I'm looking so forward to meeting everyone in person, and just enjoying the sessions in person, not having to wait for anyone. When you're on Discord or on VCs or on Instagram, whatever, you have to wait for that. There's always one conversation at a time, so you can't over talk, you can't talk over each other. But in person, I can we can do bowl shots, we can do we'll be partying, we'll enjoy each other's company, good people, good times, good hookah.
Yes.
So surrounded by enthusiasts, especially people who are veterans and newbies like me. I'm very fortunate, so thank you, Matt, for having me come out there with you. I'm looking forward to even working together and all that fun stuff and experiencing the expo because I've always seen these expos, and I'm really excited to walk the floor and see the faces behind these brands and meet people in person, shake some hands, hug some, kiss some kids on the head, like do the whole presidential thing. Maybe not kiss the kids on the head because I might get kicked out, but like
Yeah, no kids on the head.
definitely some
21 and
kids there.
older.
But
21 and older. Only ones allowed, obviously.
consent, all consent.
Afros and Hookah says, I'm going to have to make the expo next year. I couldn't get the days off this October. That's too bad to hear. I hope that we will see you next year. They really are a lot of fun. Who knows? Maybe we'll see the expo travel a little bit in the coming years, and it won't only be in Las Vegas, and we'll see it hit another big city in the US or something like that. Because it would be nice to have the expo kind of move around. We've done Vegas 5 times now, and I love Vegas. Me personally, I'm a big Vegas person. I recently gambled a lot the last time I went there, and I also was very much in the positive. So I'm kind of thinking about also retiring, because I think that it's always good to go out on top, obviously, and then my wife won't murder me for spending all of our money on gambling. I'm also excited because there will hopefully be bull shots in Las Vegas, and
I guarantee it.
you might get to meet Hobo Matt. Few people have ever met Hobo Matt. I try to not let him out as often anymore because I'm getting older, and Hobo Matt is a is very harmful to my health, I have learned. So I'm trying to keep him more contained. But there's a small chance because you'll be there, Hobo Matt might make an appearance. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Don't worry, Matt. I'll make sure. I'm the opposite. There's always friends like, I'll make sure you get absolutely wasted. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'll make sure you have a good time. So we'll have water ready. We'll have electrolytes ready to go. We gotta, it's a, we're, it's a marathon, not necessarily a sprint. So I'll make sure I'm your running coach. I'll be like, listen, buddy, 4 shots deep. Let's have a glass of water,
All right, sounds like a plan. I mean, it's going to be a good time. I'm very excited for Vegas and for the expo. It's coming up right around the corner. It's amazing how quickly once the time starts running, it starts to get even closer and closer. So it is right around the corner. We'll have some exciting news coming up later about it and stuff. Obviously, we'll be able to talk about that. Yeah, so this has been a lot of fun. The show has been a great time. I really appreciate Parm, you coming on last minute like you were able to and joining me to talk about hookah and just have a good session. It's been a long time. I try to make it to all the hangs and the stuff that happen outside of the world of morning hookah on Discord and stuff like that. Hookah University has a very active Discord that's constantly going. There's always somebody in the chat, always somebody down to do a VC and stuff like that. And I try my best to make it occasionally, but sadly, sometimes I'm not able to. But this has been a really enjoyable time. I really appreciate you. What is your full thoughts on your bowl and your mix now that we are closing the show a little bit?
I love it. It's you know what? I lied. This is a mix I can smoke 4 days in a row and I am content. There's you can play with the ratios. You don't have to like do a specific ratio. You could play around with them between the Rainmanade and the lemongrass. Matt, I really want you to try this mix. I think lemongrass is like Alfacher citrus mint but done better. And Rainmanade is a variety of flavors like I've never had a pine flavor pronounced in a bowl, and it works so well with like that lemony Baikal. There's like elderflower or something in it as well, or elderberry, something like that. I love it. I think it's if I had to name a mix after myself, it would be this one. This would be my signature mix. That's how much I
Wow.
love it.
Wow, you are a big fan of this mix. I got to say that in the beginning session parts of my session, I was unsure as to what it would mature into or what it would start tasting like. But I got to say, I'm really enjoying that little bit. I'm glad I did the layer pack the way that I did it, actually, because it really helped mellow the intensity of the honey and the spice flavors that are inside of this Arjun spice. I'm really happy with how this is turning out. The black tea, which is from Azor, is this really unique tea-style flavoring, which is like a sweet tea. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a breakfast blend or like a... It's definitely not a... what's it called? What's the gray tea called that everyone smokes?
Earl Grey.
Earl Grey, yeah. Not smokes, drinks. it's not Earl Grey because it doesn't have that citrus note in there, so it's definitely more of just like this sweet, breakfasty blend of tea. Very good. And then the mint obviously is just a nice, it kind of just says hello there and stuff. And it's really nice. But having the layer pack with the Arjun spice on the bottom, like it is, it's really helped to kind of mute a little bit just enough that you're still able to taste the honey. The honey is really impressive in this blend and those spices on the bottom of it as well. It's just been a very enjoyable session all throughout of it, which has been very nice. I think that's probably going to do it for us here on the Morning Hookah Show. Parm, like I said, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me. I hope to have you on again. We're going to have to run this back for sure with a little bit more prep time that we can engage and create a very fulfilled show based around having you on the show. So we'll definitely have to run this back again, all right?
Yeah. And also, guys, you know, if Matt, this is not a formal, you know, rigorous show, you guys can always hit up Matt on Instagram at Morning Hookah, or even myself, and you know, feedback what you guys want to see in the show, is what's missing, what are your favorite segments, what do you want to see more of, and Matt, being a man of the people, will incorporate that. So don't hesitate. And I just want to end on one note, guys, I only have 3 reels on Instagram, so go like all of them. So that's at Clouds in the Six, but also keep experimenting, keep trying new things. Don't let biases of others form your opinion. Play with there's so much to do in the world of hookah. You can't get bored. Keep doing what you guys are doing. Enjoy your sessions to the most, whether that be solo or with friends. Make notes, enjoy them, and keep smoking that happy smoke.
I completely agree. As we say here on Morning Hookah, smoke what you like and like what you smoke. You can find me, obviously, on Instagram at Morning Hookah. You can obviously subscribe to the channel here on YouTube, youtube.com/Morning Hookah. You can find me on Facebook as well, Morning Hookah. You can find Parm over on Instagram, Clouds with an S, Clouds in the Six. Don't follow my terrible naming that I'm unable to properly do anything right. But hey, it wouldn't be Morning Hookah if I did everything right to begin with. So that's how it goes here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it as always. Until next time, we like to say here, keep on smoking, and we'll see you when the clouds clear. See you later. Bye.